Hey, good morning. Welcome to Second Baptist Church. So glad that you are here and just looking forward to the opportunity to worship the Lord with you today. And so great day to be here. If you're a guest, we'd love to connect with you. And there's a few ways that you can do that, that we'd love to get to know you a little more. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You fill that out. And at the end of service, we have a gift for all of our guests for being here that we would love to share with you, but then also know how we might be able to better serve your family. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new, fill that out, and same thing. So I hope you'll take advantage of one of those, and that's for anyone in person or watching online this morning. We'd love to connect with you. A few announcements this morning, one of those being, we have mentioned this quite a bit for nearly 2 years now. It is one day, this is the ministry that we're partnering with the Arkansas Baptist State Convention and our local association. And so October 2nd in the River Valley area, everywhere from Clarksville to Danville, over to Atkins, up to Hector, that area that covers our association that we cooperate with, there's going to be ministry all over the River Valley, that section that's taking place. There are all kinds of ministry opportunities. You don't have to be a member of our church to take advantage of that day to serve and plug in. There's everything from basically like backyard Bible club, one day VBS sort of ministry. There's block parties, prayer walking, door-to-door. I've shared this with you before. My hope and prayer is that we have at least 75 who are connected with our Second Baptist Church that are serving on that day. Many of you, we've reached out to you and asked you to be leaders and serve in different capacities that way. We're going to be doing more of that in the coming days. But if you have any interest at all, and it's everything from yard work to car washes to laundromats, we want as many of our folks involved. There is an important training event that is happening for our leaders. We use the term site leader. So if we've reached out to you and asked you to be a site leader for a certain ministry, don't forget there's a meeting this Thursday night. I believe it's happening at First Baptist. Is that correct? So if you've got any questions, any interest whatsoever, reach out to Pastor Jonathan and talk to him about that. Also, Wednesday nights, we are back full swing with our Wednesday night ministries. We have a lot going on, especially this week. Everything's back in action. So we have our second kids that's taking place, and they're doing Bible drills, thrills, and skills, and they're fired up about it. So hope that you'll invite kids, have them here. That particular ministry is from 4 years old all the way up to sixth grade, and then Pastor Jonathan leads our students seventh grade through 12th grade in their worship time. And then also, I am resuming, Deidre and I, we have a meal at 5:30. Deidre and I are resuming our Young Pros ministry, and that time happens from 6 to 7 as well. And then finally, for you college students, a meal at 7:15, a free meal at 7:15, and worship at 8. We go from 8 to 9 with that. So we'd love to have you come plug into one of those. We have plenty of opportunities for folks to serve on Wednesday night. So again, reach out to one of us, and we'd love to visit with you about that. Last thing I want to say is we have a very important special call business meeting tonight for our church members. So I'm asking you as your pastor, if you are a member of this church, I'm asking you to make plans to be here tonight at 5 o'clock. It's an important meeting. We need as many of our church family here so we can take care of the business at hand, okay? All right, with that, I want to take a time and lead us in a moment of prayer, and then we are going to begin to sing unto the Lord and worship Him, okay? Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And God, I pray that this morning that all that we say and do would glorify you, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us to block out all the distractions of life. God, all the various things that are going on that might distract us and might take away our focus this morning. Help us to just for the next several moments. Block those out and focus totally on you. God, that you be glorified in all that we say and do this morning. God, just thank you so much for your love and affection for us, how you care for us. Thank you for your son, Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen.
Amen. Stand and sing. This is Amazing Grace with us.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. The Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me.
He is worthy this morning, amen, because of the amazing grace that he displayed when he went to the cross and died for us. Continue to sing of the wondrous grace of God in this incredible song, Jesus Saves.
Hear the heart of heaven beating, Jesus Saves. Jesus saves, and the heart. seed breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the host of angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, and the sounding joy repeating, Jesus saves. See the humblest hearts adore Him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the wisest bow before Him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. See the sky alive with praise, melting darkness in its blaze. There is light forevermore in Jesus saves. He will live, our sorrow sharing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He will die, our burden bearing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It is done, we'll shout the cross. Christ has paid redemption's cost. While the empty tomb's declaring, Jesus saves. Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Jesus saves. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. All the saints who shout together, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Rising up so vast and strong, lifting up salvation's song, the redeemed sing forever, Jesus saves. Rising up so vast and strong, lifting up salvation's song, the redeemed will sing forever, Jesus saves.
To introduce you to a new song this morning. We actually had the opportunity on Wednesday night to introduce it to our students in hopes that today they will sing along with us. This is an incredible new worship song called Endless Praise. And the idea is that when we get to heaven, there is already a song that is being sang about the wondrous God that we serve. And about the Lamb who was slain, and how He is worthy, how He is holy, how He is righteous, how He is just. We just want to introduce it to you this morning. We'll sing through the first verse, and we just invite you, we're going to sing that first verse again. Join with us as we join the song that they're already singing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
I can't wait for eternity. Join the song they're already singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Just to bow down before your throne, see your face, I'll cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Jesus, King of Kings. Jesus, Majesty, I can wait for eternity. Join the song they're already singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Just to bow down. Just to bow down before your throne. See your face, I'll cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Jesus, King of Kings.
Forever that you're the one who's faithful, faithful, faithful are you, Lord.
Oh, what can we give you but endless praise? The heavens roar as we shout, your name is Jesus, 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 you are Lord. Jesus, King of Kings
and the Lord of Lords.
Jesus, Majesty.
Of glory,
we'll sing once more.
Worthy, 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 Lord,
forever, forever singing.
Worthy, 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 Lord, another glimpse of glory,
we'll sing once more.
Worthy, 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 Lord,
forever, forever singing. Worthy, 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 Lord, another glimpse of glory. We'll sing once more. Worthy, 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 Lord, forever.
If you have your Bible, would you turn to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 7. And we are going to focus on this last section of chapter 7 as we continue our study, our look through the book of Hebrews. And so I'm excited this morning to continue that. If I'm honest and transparent with you, as I preach through a book, especially something like Hebrews, there are a few verses that just really jump out. Then, you know, no matter what I'm preaching through, there's some places that I have to pace myself before I get to, because when I get there, I'm really excited. So this morning, this has one of those verses in it for me, and we're going to sit down in it, and we're going to allow the Word of God just to pour over the top of us. But one thing, before we jump into the message, one thing you may not know, and several of you do, before coming here, pastored in Southeast Arkansas, and had came straight from Memphis and seminary and all the above. But whenever I first came to Arkansas Tech, I wanted to coach and teach math. That's what I wanted to do. And so in the midst of that, God had a different plan, called me out of that. And so I went to seminary, etc. But moved to Southeast Arkansas, and I was all there all of about 3 months. And a school administrator from the local Christian school had called me and said, "Hey, I heard that you were once interested in coaching, and now you're pastoring in the area." They had just lost their basketball coach, and go, "Hey, do you want to coach?" I said, "Absolutely not. This is my first time pastoring, full-time pastorate. I don't know what I'm doing pastoring, let alone do I need to add basketball coaching to my resume at this time," or whatever. And so, long story longer, maybe, the Lord spoke to my heart and called me to do it. So, went and coached basketball for 3 or 4, maybe 5 years, I think maybe 4 years there. And in the midst of that, also became athletic director, etc. And so enjoyed it, wasn't very good, all that kind of thing. But in the midst of it, you have a few accomplishments and a few things along with it and go, "Man, you know, this is great. And you know, God used me in this way," and all these sorts of things. Well, then come here and get a chance to be around some coaches at Arkansas Tech. And I realized there's a reason I'm not a college coach. I am underqualified, all right? You know, in your own practice, in your own world, you're like, "Man, you feel pretty good about yourself." Then you get exposed to really good coaches and really good programs, and you go, "Whew, glad I avoided that train wreck. That'd have been a bad career choice," all right? But this morning, as we study our text, the title of the text is this: Better Qualified. And we are going to take what the author is doing through the book of Hebrews. Remember, Jesus is greater, Jesus is greater, Jesus is greater. That's the screaming theme of the book of Hebrews. And we've bit off this section, and especially looking at chapter 7, and the idea here is that Jesus is better. We look better than a shadow, the first part of chapter 7, better than a better priesthood last week, and then this morning, Jesus is better qualified. And so Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to begin in verse 23. Hebrews 7, verse 23. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? "Now many have become Levitical priests, since they are prevented by death from remaining in office. But because he remains forever, he holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. For this kind of high priest we need: holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day, as high priests do, first for their own sins, then for those of the people. He did this once for all time when he offered himself, for the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the promise of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son whom has been perfected forever." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are holy and righteous, and God, that you are worthy. You're worthy of our attention. You're worthy of our everything. And so, God, this morning, I pray that we focus our hearts and our minds on you. I pray the Word of God would accomplish its purpose this morning, that would work in and through us, that it would restore us, it would renew us, it would bring about salvation. And God, I pray that in the midst of this, we would worship you in who you are and what you've done for us. I pray, God, you give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And so as we're going along through the text, there's some things I want to mine out of the text. But if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea, the sentence in a sermon is this: is Jesus is better qualified to provide salvation. Jesus is better qualified to provide salvation. Now, let me make something abundantly clear with that. Jesus is the only one who is qualified to bring about salvation. And the reason I'm using this better in this context is because, remember, this writer is writing to Hebrews who were previously Jews, and so they depended on an old covenant. They depended on priests, they depended on laws, they depended on all these sacrifices, all these different things to earn, to gain salvation, if you will. And the writer is turning the table saying, look, Jesus, let me hold up Jesus for you. You've heard about Jesus, and let me tell you how Jesus is greater. And in our context this morning, Jesus is better. And so that's the context of the sentence in a sermon in a sense. Jesus is better qualified to provide salvation. And so the question then is this. Do you, or maybe it's better to say this, are you trusting Jesus for your salvation? What are you putting your faith and trust in for salvation, not only to have a relationship with God right now, but one day when you take your last breath and you believe, you may say right now, preacher, I think I'm going to heaven. I believe I'm going to heaven. I think I've got a pretty good chance. What is it that you're placing your faith and trust in when you take your last earthly breath that you'll spend eternity in heaven? And so to help answer that question, to help clarify these statements, there's four truths I want us to dig out of the text this morning. And number one is this: Jesus is better qualified permanently. He is better qualified permanently. Let's look at the text together. Hebrews 7, 23 and 24. Now remember, this is on the heels of the writer has just said Jesus is the better priesthood. So there was this long line of individuals who, because of how they were born, what family are they born in, they became priests, okay? And if you were to look back, you'd see that Jesus did not come through that lineage because of the ancestry, but rather because God established something else before that, and then he promises him, hey, Jesus is my priest. He is the priest according to the order of Melchizedek forever is what the scripture says. So now let's look at verses 23 and 24. Because Jesus is better as a better priesthood, notice this, verse 23. Now many have become Levitical priests, since they are prevented by death from remaining in office. Now hit pause. I don't know if you do this, but I maybe sometimes come to Scripture with a little bit of creativity. I've got to be careful with this. It'll get me in trouble. But I think sometimes we're so stoic in reading the Scripture that we don't miss sometimes that these are human authors, and there's these moments that, at least to me, maybe not to you, are funny. But note, read again verse 23. Now many have become Levitical priests. Okay, so remember, there's this long lineage of priest after priest after priest after priest. And he just told us Jesus had a better priesthood. Why are there so many priests? Because this pesky thing got in the way. Look at what it says. Since they are prevented by death from remaining in office. You know why there's so many priests? Because they died. And they kept dying. And they kept dying. And so you had to have more priests because they kept dying. I don't know about you, but I just read things maybe a little differently and probably gets me in trouble. So he says, now you have all these Levitical priests. Why? Because death happens. Notice verse 24. But because he, circle, underline, mark, he remains forever. Said had to have all these priests that came from the Levites because they died and they died and they died and had to get somebody else and just on and on. And you just read throughout the Old Testament, priest after priest after priest and all this long heritage that they have. And they said they couldn't stay in office because death happened, so somebody had to replace them. And then he transitions to verse 24. He makes this transitional statement, but because he remains forever. That, who's that he? Jesus. You may write Jesus out next to that, but because Jesus remains forever, look at this. He holds his priesthood permanently. So here's the transition then. Here's the better than. Remember, we said last week it's a better priesthood. And so all these Levites coming down through, and they keep having to have replacements because they keep growing up and dying. But now this transition has happened, and we know that Jesus is a better priesthood. He came from the order of Melchizedek. Read the first part of chapter 7. But then here he is, and he's established as a better priesthood, and the transition takes. But because he is the priest forever, he holds the office. He holds that priesthood permanently. Why? How? Because if you were to back up a few verses where we were last week, again, Hebrews 7:16, look at this. Who did not become a priest based on legal regulation about physical descent, because had that happened, he would have died because he would have had human descent. But because Jesus was the Son of God, he was fully God yet fully man. I know we're crossing a creek here this morning. Stay with me. Fully God yet fully man. He is divine. He is God incarnate, God in the flesh. Notice this. But based on the power of, and I told you to mark underline this last week, an indestructible life. He came and lived a life that could not be destroyed. You say, well, preacher, he died. Yes. But somebody help me this morning. He didn't stay dead. Right? Am I among the church this morning that we're gathered on Sunday morning right now because Jesus is no longer in a tomb, right? Listen to what the scripture says. We're gonna get on, we ain't even gonna the good verse yet, all right? We're getting there, okay? We're priming the prompt. Romans 6:9. But because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, listen, will not die again. Look, death no longer rules over him. The greatest enemy of all humanity is death by the power of Satan that God invested in because of the power of sin. And Jesus comes as fully God, yet fully man. He dies a physical death, and we're going to see the importance of that. But listen to me, church. He laughed in the face of death because it no longer has power over him. And so he doesn't fall into the line of the priest who wake up, they're priests, they die, but rather he is taken the office of priesthood and he is still priest. Why? Because he has an indestructible life because he faced death and conquered it. Listen to what he says in Revelation 1:18. And the living one, in case you're confused, that's Jesus, said, I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. He said, I was dead, but no longer. I got up out of the grave. I conquered death. I conquered hell. And so, as we look at this, Jesus is better qualified permanently. There's no one else coming from the lineage. There's no one else in the pipeline that's having to be groomed to be a priest. There's no one that God is having to raise up to take Jesus' position because he will remain forever. His job will no longer post as needing to hire. There is no incentive. There is no bonus. There is no human resource department looking for a replacement because he is alive forever and ever, and he has staked his hold that he is priest forevermore. And so, number two, Jesus is better qualified to save. Jesus is better qualified to save. Hebrews 7:25. And this is the verse I was excited about. And so he says, now remember, he points back to the Levites saying there's a problem with them. They keep dying. And so for them to do what they do, they would always have to have a supply of them. But they can't, they're insufficient. We'll see that later in the scripture. Jesus is a priest permanently. He never loses his job. He never gets succeeded in that. So then Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, when you see the word therefore, or for some of you King James, you may have King James here, you're looking at wherefore sometimes, and the cliche of a question, when you see therefore, you have to ask what's it there for, okay? He's saying therefore, because these Levites kept dying, so we had to have a permanent priest. Jesus is the permanent priest. Because of that, he, Jesus, is able to save, mark or underline this, completely. He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to intercede for them. I like the old English here in some of the translations. It says He's able to save to the uttermost. And so what's the idea here of uttermost, of completely? Does He mean that someone is not so far, they're not such a sinner, that they're not so messed up that God can't save them? So looking at the quality, if you will, of His salvation, it's somebody so messed up that, man, he just can't do it. That He's dealing with that here. He's saying nobody's too far from God. Nobody's gone too far, stayed too long as the Spirit of God is drawing. Nobody's done too much. Nobody's pushed back so far that they can't be saved. That is one part of the interpretation of this. What about, does it mean that He only saves for a certain period of time? That He only saves for a certain segment of their life, or certain percentage of their life, or He only saves if you get saved at such and such time? Is that what He's saying? Listen, it's both and. It's both quality and quantity. Now, here it is, church. Don't miss this. He says they're able to save completely, or save to the uttermost. He is saying to you this morning, and some of you who've experienced salvation need to get excited about this, that you've not gone too far or stayed too long. God saved you from all of your wickedness. There's nobody that's too dirty, that's too dingy, that's too messed up, that God can't radically bring to salvation. But then secondly, there's nobody that's too far, too gone, that they save and then somehow they're going to run out of their salvation. Somehow Jesus is not going to be able to get them to the end. Somehow they're going to fall off the wagon and not make it to eternal life. But listen to me, dear friend, the Bible says that Jesus saves to the uttermost. He saved completely. Listen, for a redheaded stepchild that was as close to an alcoholic as he could be, that I was wicked in my transgression, that was angry, that was prideful, that was deserves hell right now. I deserve hell. I deserve hell in forever, for all eternity. But because Jesus saves completely, listen, the old horses used to say this, that God saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. And that's exactly what He does. When you surrender, man, I'm going to get excited this morning. When you, man, you experience the salvation of Christ, listen, I deserved hell. I deserved the full wrath of God. I deserved the manifest presence of God pouring out on me in punishment of my sin. But God met me right where I was. He didn't say, get cleaned up. He didn't say, hey, go get your life in order. He didn't say, put down the bottle. He didn't say, stop running around. He didn't say, stop partying. But rather, He met me right where I was in the Baptist church in Branch America on my knees. And I surrendered my heart and life to Jesus. And He said, I'll take you right where you are. And when I stood up, I was a new man instantaneously, because Jesus saves completely. Man, I don't know where you're at, friend. I got to tell you this morning, you're not too far gone. You're not too wicked. God's not saying this morning, hey, if you'll stop doing this, if you'll stop doing that, if you'll get your life cleaned up. Listen, I couldn't get my life cleaned up on my own. Anybody here this morning? I couldn't quit doing what I was doing. I couldn't get straightened up. God's not saying to you this morning, hey, get this X, Y, and Z straight in your life and then come back and see me. No, God's right where you're at. Jesus will meet you right where you're at. And the Bible, listen to this. He doesn't just save you good. He saves you perfectly. That's the idea that's here. You become a new creation. Now, does that mean we're still going to struggle? We're still going to have sin? We're still going to have hardship? Absolutely. Don't misunderstand that this morning. But dear friend, I hope you'll grab a hold of this idea that He saves completely. Those who come to God, look at this, through Him, through Jesus, since He always lives to intercede for them, because Jesus has not lost His priesthood. We're going to see in a moment that He enters into the presence of God, and He is there as a permanent go-between, between you and God. bringing about reconciliation. But before we do, we got to talk about this totally and forever, because other places of Scripture, Jesus tells us time and again, the Word of God tells us, John 6, Jesus says this in verse 37, everyone the Father gives me, this is Jesus saying, everyone the Father gives to Jesus will come to me. The one who comes to me, look at this, I will never cast out. He'll never turn you away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose none of those He has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him, look at this, will have eternal life. If eternal life was limited by what you could do or could not do, if it was limited in any way, it actually violates the very definition of eternal life. But the fact that He uses the description of eternal life is indication that Jesus does save completely and forever. And I'll raise Him up on the last day, as the end of verse 40 there. John 10, 29, the Bible says this, but my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And look at this, no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I'm going to surpass the Greek lesson for you and hope you'll just trust me. But if you have a question about it, I'll sit down and talk to you about it. What this means is the Greek that is here, what it literally means is that whenever you get saved, God takes and places you in His hand, and it says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. It's written in such a way to say that God can't even snatch them out of His own hand. So what does that mean? It means that He saves you so perfectly, so completely, He can't even take you out of His own hand. Jude 24, now to Him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory. Talking about the perfection of His salvation. Look at this, without blemish and with great joy. Romans 8:34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. The very one that would have the right to condemn you is the one that is pursuing you, wanting you to be born again. Trust Him for salvation. And not only that, then He stands next to God advocating for you. And so, Jesus is better qualified to save. Number three, Jesus is better qualified by perfect character. Jesus is better qualified by perfect character. We've sung some about this morning. Hebrews 7:26, for this is the kind of high priest we need. So remember, there's this comparison that continues to go on, right? He continuing to look back at the Levitical priests saying, hey, they're pretty good dudes, but they kept dying. They couldn't keep office. So then Jesus raises up His Son. He's, according to the order of Melchizedek, He's a priest forever. And He goes on to say, Jesus saves completely. He lives to intercede for us. And then He goes on to say, this is the kind of high priest that we need. Comparing the two, or making a argument for something greater. What do we need? We need somebody that's holy. We need somebody that's innocent. We need somebody that's undefiled. We need somebody that's separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. Well, as great as the Levitical priests were, and as diligent and faithful as many of they were not holy. Holy is to be set apart. Holy is to be in the category of only one. It's to have no marks, no blemishes. Nothing even remotely close to what would be considered sin or wicked. That is what it is to be holy. It's as if it's almost unapproachable. And there's no one that has ever lived, no human that has ever lived, that has been holy. That all the priests, as great as they were, they still had sin. They still had issues. They still had wrongdoings. Why? How do we know that? Because even in the law had to be written in such a way so that a priest could go in and make the right sacrifice, but it had to be written in such a way so that the priest would go in and offer the sacrifice for his sin first so that then he could offer it for others. Why was that necessary? Because God knew there would never be a Levitical priest who was sinless that wouldn't need to offer for the sacrifice of their own sins first. So they're not holy. They're not innocent. None of us in this room, once we get to the age of knowing the difference between right and wrong, are innocent. Ever been innocent? The priests, Levitical priests, none of them were innocent, had to offer for their own sins. Undefiled, as if they had never broken the law. They had never touched anything unclean. They had never made the wrong step according to the law that God had given them. All of them at some point in their life and ministry had become undefiled. Separated from sinners. No, they were just like them. Sure, they tried to separate themselves by their physical life and some of those things, but no, they are just like you and I. And certainly none of them were exalted above the heavens. But there was one. There is one who is holy. Never sinned, never had a wicked thought, never has done a single thing that would be wrong. He is holy. There's one that is innocent, not only in his earthly life, but for all eternity. Not a single thing that could be charged against him. He is undefiled, without blemish. Nothing that would defile or bring any sort of wickedness upon him. He is separated from sinners. Yes, he spent his times with the prostitutes and the tax collectors, but because of his life, it puts him in a category of being holy and innocent and undefiled. And because of that, he is separated from sinners. And listen, dear friends, you better believe this morning, he is exalted above the heavens. The Bible has a lot to say about this, and I had to quit putting verses in, but Revelation 15:4, Lord, who will not fear and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship before you because your righteous acts have been revealed. Revelation 16:5, I heard the angels of the waters say, you are just and the Holy One who is and who was because you have passed judgment on these things. Ephesians 4:8-10, for it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive and he gave gifts to the people. But what does he ascended mean? That he also descended to the lower parts of the earth. The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens to fill all things. We can look at Philippians 2, that Jesus has given him a name above every name. Ephesians 1, that God has put all things under his feet and called him to be head over all the church. And just time and again, Jesus is holy. Jesus is innocent. Jesus is undefiled. He's separated from sinners. He is exalted above the heavens. Why do you think we spent time this morning singing the songs that we did and saying specifically there, the last song, the song introduced to you, that Jesus is holy, that Jesus is righteous, Jesus is worthy? And I know for some of you, so many of those, for me even this morning listening to that, thinking of the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God who was and is to come. And just time and time and time again that we come into the presence of God not recognizing the holiness of His character. The one who is spotless and blameless and without blemish saved you completely. And then number four, and it may feel like a repeat, but I want to look at the nuance of this. Jesus is better qualified by innocence. By innocence. Look at Hebrews 7. We've got 27 and 28 here, and then we'll finish. He doesn't need... That's an important word, need. Need to offer sacrifices every day, as high priests do. So he's pointing back. Remember the Levitical priest told you the law was written in such a way they had to offer sacrifices every day. They had to offer once a year for the atonement of the people. And it was set up in such a way that they had to offer, but before they could offer sacrifice for anybody else, they had to offer a sacrifice for their own sins. And so he doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day as high priests do. First for their own sins, there it is. Then for those of the people. Notice this. He did this once for all time when he offered himself. Because Jesus was holy, he was undefiled, he was separated from sinners, he is above all. Because of that, Jesus did not need to offer some sacrifice to get appeasement between he and a holy God so that he could offer for you and I. But because he lived a life without sin, whenever he died on the cross, entered into the presence of God, we're going to see verse 28, entered in and he offered himself. Look at verse 28. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the promises of this oath, which came after the law, appoints a son who has been perfected forever. Because Jesus is perfect, he offers himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who did not know sin to be sin for us. What's he saying? God made his son Jesus, who was sinless and perfect, to be sin for us. Did he commit sin? No. But because of his righteousness, when he's on the cross, all the sins of the world were laid upon him. He became your sin. He became your lying, your stealing, your deceit, your dishonor. All those things that you are, that I am, laid them on his son Jesus. But notice this. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because Jesus was sinless, he died for our sins and he offered himself. Hebrews 9:12, he entered into the most holy place once for all time. So Jesus died, he goes in, offers himself, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews 10:10, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. When Jesus died on the cross, raised from the dead, he offers himself. He doesn't have to go in before God and provide a sacrifice to cover his own sins. He was sinless. So when he offered that, he obtained, the scripture says, an eternal salvation, an eternal redemption. So then he could in turn offer salvation to you and I based on the requirements from God the Father and the satisfaction of him dying, Jesus dying on the cross. And so he can be this perfect priest. He is this perfect priest for all of eternity because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Because he is innocent, he is undefiled, he is holy, he's separated from sinner, he's above all. And because he didn't have to offer sins for himself, he could offer and cover and pay the price for your sin and for my sin. Now here's the picture of 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I don't know, up there it's on CSB, I memorized it in a different translation, okay, so it may not match up. But it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us. So Jesus becomes our sin upon the cross. But then it goes on to say that he might cover us in his righteousness. So here's what happened. October 10th, 2004, the day that I got saved. God comes over. He sees me in all of my sin. And Jesus comes over, sees me in all of his sin, all of my sin, all of my unrighteousness. When I surrender to him, what happens? God takes all my past, present, and future sin and lays it over on his son Jesus. And then, if he just stopped there, that'd be pretty cool, but it's insufficient. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God takes the righteousness, the perfection of his son Jesus, and he comes and lays it over on me. So how do I know that I have eternal life? How can I have the assurance of salvation? How do I know that one day when I take my last earthly breath and I open my heavenly eyes, I'll spend all eternity with him? Because of one reason. Because one day when I stand before Almighty God, he doesn't see Chris as sinner, but rather he sees the righteousness of his son Jesus. And listen to me, dear friend. I don't know what you're trusting in for salvation, but if it's anything short of the righteousness of his son Jesus, it's insufficient. It's not enough. But you need to know this. God isn't telling you, hey, get a little closer, get a little more cleaned up, get a few more things in your life right. He's telling you, I'll meet you right where you are. Your world may be upside down right now. Go, I've got no idea how I'm going to stop doing these things, or how I'm going to live for this out, or how I'm going to do this. That's not what God's calling you to this morning. God's just calling you to Himself. God's saying, hey, if you'll surrender your heart and life to Jesus, if you'll believe on me and turn from your sin, He will save you completely. And for those of you that know Christ, kind of being honest with you, I've just been convicted lately that I've not been telling enough people one-on-one in my everyday interaction about what Jesus has done in my life and what God wants to do in every human, and that is bring them to salvation. If I'm honest with you, church, I've not been telling people about Jesus the way that God's called me to. God's commanded me to, just like every other Christian. And it's easy, listen, it's easy for me to come in here and jump up and down and get excited because the Word of God just excites my heart. But if I'm transparent with you, it's easy to do it here and it's harder to do it out there. And so the invitation is twofold this morning. First of all, if you don't know Christ, if you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, dear friend, what are you waiting for? I'm begging you, give your heart to Jesus today. And then some of you may be like me, you go, man, I've just been ashamed of my faith, or I haven't been as bold with my faith as I need to be. Ask God to give you strength. Ask God to give you boldness. This is the most important message the world will ever hear. And they won't hear it if we don't tell it. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. And God, I pray right now for those that need to surrender to you for salvation. Those of God that are here that need to be saved. God, I pray that you'd work in and through their life. God, you would give them grace to repent and to believe on you. And if that's you this morning, you just simply pray. Your main attitude of prayer, and you just pray. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to be the boss and master of your life. Surrender and give everything to Him. You may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart, wash away my sins, be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that this morning and asked God to save me, would you just slip your hand up in the air to say, Brother Chris, I prayed that and I meant it with all my heart this morning. Your main attitude of prayer, I'm going to pray once again in just a moment, and our team's going to begin to sing, and just want you to know this invitation is for you. You want to come to the front and pray. Pray for God to give you boldness. Pray for your neighbors to be saved. Maybe you just got something else going on in your life you want to pray for. You can pray right where you're at. You can come up here and pray. You can come and say, Brother Chris, I need somebody to pray for me. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you know this morning that you need to surrender to Him for salvation. You come. Say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Or I pray and ask God to save me. Or maybe you were saved recently in another service or another time, another place, and you've never taken the step of believer's baptism. Come, say, hey, I need to follow the Lord in baptism. Whatever God's doing in your heart, you be obedient to Him this morning. And you come when I finish praying, they begin to sing. And you just remain in the attitude of prayer. God in heaven, I pray that we'd be obedient to you this morning. I pray, God, that we'd be sensitive to your leadership. God, that we'd pray for those things we need to pray for. We'd take the steps of boldness for the things that we need to be bold with and decisions to make. God, your Spirit, I pray, would move in this place, in this moment. I ask this in Jesus' name. You move how the Lord leads you.
Chasm that lay between us.
salvation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Let's stand and sing.
Has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Its grip on me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your bearing body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Sing that again with us.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is a victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ,
Amen. I like that. Came the silence and his body began to breathe. It's a good lyric. So, hey, thank you so much for joining us. So glad that you have come, been here, and joined a time of worship with us. I do want to invite you back. For those of you that are members, we have an important meeting in here, 5 o'clock. So I hope you'll make plans to be back with us for that time. And join us on Wednesday nights. A lot of things happening. Finally, I want to tell you, some of our folks are moving. There's opportunity to give as you leave just to continue our time of worship. And that's the heart and focus behind that. 2 Corinthians 9 says this, "Now to the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all generosity which produces thanksgiving to God through us." Paul's writing and saying, hey, the way that you give unto God is going to bless. And I just want to say to our church family, we've had a summer giving goal of $125,000, and we've got 2 weeks left toward that goal. And just the way that you've given has been incredible. You've allowed us to do some incredible opportunities for ministry, and those things continue on. And so just know that as you give weekly, you're giving for ministry and reaching a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. So I hope that you'll continue to ask the Lord how He would have you to give and be a part of what's happening here at Second Baptist. All right? All right, let me pray and we'll be dismissed. God, you're gracious and kind. Thank you for this day. Thank you that you are alive forevermore and that you save completely. I pray that we would go and tell a lost world, God, what you have done in and through our lives and what you can do for anyone who will repent and believe on you. And God, I pray that we give in a way that brings honor and glory to your name, and thank you for the privilege to give and how you bless generosity. And so thank you for your goodness and grace. Go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.